Grace and peace be unto you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's all pray. Father God, we come to you today with a grateful heart that we are allowed together during this time, that you allow us to say thank you. I ask, Lord, that the words that will be on my lips and the meditation that is in my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Thanksgiving. It's always interesting to me. We were having a short discussion before. Tomorrow, if we were to have a service, the vestments would be white. White is a day of the Lord in our church. It's a day like Christmas or Easter, one of those high holidays, if you will. And the church has decided Thanksgiving belongs in there as well. It is a day in which we thank God for what we have. A good many years ago, in a certain theological seminary where a young man went to school, maybe you might know him, there was a professor of theology who was the master of pithy. He was able to say all kinds of things, and some of them I still chuckle at today. When the seminarians were about to graduate, he used to give this advice. He said, marry as soon as possible and as often as necessary. He had a classic table blessing, and I'd like to call on that blessing tonight and use it. He used to pray this at public functions even. He would say, Lord, we thank you for the food for the body and food for the soul. May we never lack for either, and give us an appetite for both. Think about that, our blessings. We come today and we are thankful for so many things. We're thankful for the fact that we're healthy, healthy enough to be here, healthy enough to still be above the ground. We have wonderful homes, and we know that even though this year we've gotten to know the home better than we want to, God has provided that in family, friends, so many things that we have to be thankful for. And we look at them, and we say, oh, Lord, why have you given us all of these things? And then one day a year, we look at that last little pumpkin, and we go, food. We really are thankful for food. Tomorrow we'll show you that. When you think about how many of us stuff us at the table, we eat more than we should, and then we sit down and we look at the TV and hope that somehow or other that we will stay awake through whatever football game or show might be on. We emphasize food because we're thankful for it. It's one of the things that are necessary in life. It is a gift from God. And so today and tomorrow and all the times that you eat, you need to be thankful for God. For God gives you that food for your body. And tomorrow we celebrate that. The passage which we read from the Gospel of John, I read to you earlier, is a part of a very long discourse all about food. Food for the body and food for the soul. One of the characteristics about John's Gospel, when you read it, it does not follow like other books. Most books that we think of usually happen in a chronological order. People are born, they go to school, they get married, they get old. All of those things in order. That's not the way John writes. John writes in a spiral. Very first, he starts with the beginning of the world, and then he starts to Jesus' ministry, and then he goes to the last week that Jesus was alive, and then he goes to something else, and he does all these things because the purpose of John's gospel is to prove that Jesus Christ is the Lord. John saw it. He knew it. He wrote about it. And so he's designing this, and so I just can't take one short part of any of John's gospel without looking at all of it. I always tell young people when I'm teaching them and looking at the Bible with them, to never just look at the verse. Always go a chapter before and a chapter after, at least, because there's so much there. And so we need to look at what's happening in this narrative that we chose today. It's one of John's longer narratives. It all starts way back and all has to do with food, Jesus being the bread. The event is set into motion way back in John, where he's feeding the 5,000. You guys recall that event, I'm sure. It was kind of a nice event. Everybody was listening and following Jesus. Jesus had been preaching on the mountain. He had been healing people. He had been reaching out. He had been showing them what love was about. And the people saw it, and they were amazed. Then it got a little later, and they got hungry. Jesus asked the disciples, well, he says, what are you going to feed them? And the disciples said, hey, we can't buy enough. Philip pointed out that if we had 6 months of wages, which we don't, we wouldn't buy enough to even give them a little bit. Look how big this crowd is. The crowd is estimated to be somewhere around 20 to 25,000 people. 5,000 men, their wives, their children, and all their family. Andrew, I can just imagine he had a smile on his face. He said, oh, I saw a little boy. And this little boy has 5 barley loaves, which are about the size of the palm of your hand, and 2 small fishes. Jesus smiles, and he says, bring them to me. And he gives thanks, and he breaks them, and he starts distributing them. And everybody eats, and all the people there are hungry. They've been listening and watching him all day long, and they eat to their fill. And then they gather all the things that were left over. Remember, 12 loaves of bread were left over. Needless to say, the people ate and were filled, not only with food for their body, but food for their soul, when Jesus gave all of his sermons. And they watched, and they followed him. And the disciples leave the crowd, and they go across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus goes away to a quiet place and prays. But the people find him, and once they see him, they say, oh, Jesus, here you are. Give us some food. Their motive was to seek him out because they were hungry. They wanted the bread for the body, not necessarily bread for the soul. People enthusiastically followed Jesus across the sea, and they weren't really committed to him. Jesus said to them, you ate your fill of the loaves. And they weren't all that interested. They knew they were hungry. They knew that Jesus had done this before. He'll probably do it again. Jesus reminds them about this bread and how important it is, that he is the bread of life, and that all the things that they come, but they don't get it. And then he says, but look at earthly bread. Earthly bread molds. It decays. It only satisfies your hunger for a little while, and then you get hungry again, and you have to eat again. And he tells them about the food that endures forever, an eternal life, the food that he himself will give them. He is authorized to do so by God, the Father. And so these people, and this is always funny to me, the people who had watched him heal, who had watched him do so many amazing things, had watched him feed all those people, said to Jesus, give us a sign so that we know that what you're saying is true. John 6, 2. They didn't grasp the significance of what Jesus was saying and had already showed them. He tells us, and he told them, he says, you're not looking for me. You are looking for food, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. John's conclusion of this account of the feeding of the wilderness is this. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, this is indeed what the prophet who came into the world said, John 6, 14. Therefore, the sign does make a favorable impression on them. They were impressed, and they want to be impressed again. They see Jesus as an extraordinary person who can do remarkable things. They were hungry before. He'll feed them again. But that's not what Jesus came just for. He came so that he could understand a little bit more. They need to see some parallel between what Jesus did with the 5 loaves and what Moses did. They recall that Moses told the people that when they were hungry, they complained, and God sent them manna every day, bread from heaven. That's what manna means. And he reminds them of that. And they said, well, Moses gave that, so certainly you can. And Jesus reminds them that Moses did not, that God is the one who sent them the manna. He told them, the hearers, that what they should know, that God provides in the wilderness. It is and was God. And then he declares before the crowd that God the Father still gives bread from heaven. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's saying this, and it arouses their interest, and the people are excited, and they think, oh, now I can have bread from heaven, and will never be hungry again. And they're thinking only of an abundant supply of food. Do they have any visions of more that's going to the market? They can't go there because Jesus is going to take care of things. There's no more standing over a hot stove to get bread because Jesus is going to give them a bread that will never make them physically hungry again. Is that what they're thinking? Imagine how much work that they had to do together and cut the grain and mill it and bake it and all of those things and the remainder and all that's going to be gone, they think. But Jesus makes a bold claim. And I almost always want to read this in the original language. In this part of John, it's referred to in the Hebrew, not the Greek. He says, Yahweh Adonai, Yahweh, I am God. That's exactly what Jesus was put to death for being the king. He did not say, I am somebody. He used that word that the Jewish people were not allowed to say, Yahweh, I am. And then they were terrified. And then they thought to themselves, oh my goodness, this is too hard for me to swallow that this man, this human being that grew up, and some of us know of mom and dad, he's just a boy, he's just another guy, and he claims to be God. Goes on to say in John that this was too hard. He said they could not follow him anymore. He takes the analogy of the bread of life even further, and he speaks of the necessary thing that they have to do. They have to learn to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. He says in John 56, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood and abide in me and I in them, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. Whew. Too strong. People couldn't do it. It was a difficult teaching. In John 6:66, it says many of them turned back and could no longer follow Jesus. You see, Jesus wasn't interested in bread for their bodies. He was looking for bread for their soul. And what can we make of this bold language that Jesus comes to talk to us about bread for the soul? And especially when we think about Thanksgiving and we think about the food and we think about all the wonderful things that we have. We need to relate to God because he is Yahweh. He is the Lord. He is alive. He's the human spirit and he wants us and he knows that we have hungers and he wants us to be satisfied in this life. And he came into this world to give us an abundant life, and we have it. But he came more for us to live with him forever, and we have that. The human body needs food to sustain, and tomorrow we're all going to eat too much. That's the essence of our being. But such food cannot be everlasting, because if we just eat the food, we're going to die. When I think of death, I only think of non-Christians, because as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a believer in Yahweh, I will not die. And I know that my friends in Christ will not die. They will blink and they will be with God. God will be there and they will be with God. And they can be there and touch his face and be part of who he is and be able to sing and join him and all the people. It's a wonderful time. So when by faith we receive this bread, this new bread, the bread of God, we can only give thanks. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his love doesn't last until the next meal. His love doesn't last until the pies that come out at the end of the day. His love lasts forever. That's what it says in the Bible. There is one table at which we can think about that. And we can partake of that. And we're going to celebrate that tonight in Holy Communion. God comes to us. That's so important. So many people think that we come to God But God comes to us, and then we take him into us. And we're thankful for that. We become like him. He says, this is my body, which was broken for you. This is my blood, which was shed for you. Without hesitation, he didn't say, I can't do it. He did it with joy. And so our deepest and most heartfelt thanksgiving is reserved, really, the greatest gift of all, bread. But not the bread that comes from the meal, from the grocery store, the bread which comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. And so I close tonight with that prayer that my seminary professor taught me. Lord, we thank you for food, food for the body, and food for the soul. May we never lack for either, and give us an abundance and an appetite of both. In Jesus' name we pray.